You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, Queens. It's Georgia Carr here, and you're listening to the Queendom Podcast.
And tonight, we are...
Sup, Queens. It's Josh. We are here. It is the Queendom Podcast. You are listening to, if you've accidentally clicked on this, stick around because the next hour of your life will be devoted to something amazing. This is the longest episode to date right now at time of recording, I guess, of the Queendom Podcast. And it's a fun one. It is a really interesting one, actually. We don't touch on the cruise side of things. So Georgia Carr's from the Breakaway cruise cast, so we're switching casts up on the sea. But we don't actually touch on cruising much. This is a very deep episode, so make sure you've got your kind of brain switched on for this one. It goes pretty deep, and you need to kind of stay attentive, I guess, to make sure you don't get lost in this episode. Georgia is an amazingly smart woman, and it was a absolute pleasure to be able to sit down and chat with her, because this was a challenging conversation for me as well, and I love a good challenging conversation, and I can't wait to have Georgia back on the podcast to go deeper into the psychological side of things. But Queens, you know what time it is. Let's get stuck in and get down.
Because I'm the queen of the castle. Get down, you dirty rascal. Get down.
Hey, Queens, and welcome back to the Queendom Podcast. I am here with our first guest from the Breakaway cast, Miss Georgia Carr. Hello, Georgia. How are you?
Hello, Josh. I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for joining us here. So we always get started off with a couple of quick fire questions. So let's get stuck straight into that one. What is your favorite genre of music outside of musical theatre?
I actually really love like 80s pop.
That is wonderful.
I know, so rogue. It's just the music I grew up on. So yeah, I love that.
I love that. Favorite band or artist from that genre?
Probably ABBA.
Yeah, can't go past a good bit of ABBA.
Can't go wrong with a dancing queen.
Exactly. What's your favorite holiday destination?
Tough. I've always wanted to go to St. Lucia. I've actually never been, but that would be like
good
dream
old Barbados
holiday destination.
Yes,
I know, love Barbados. So yeah, St. Lucia would be the dream.
Wonderful. What's the favorite? Your favorite musical that you've seen?
Come From Away.
All right, can we just hold it? Let's have a chat about Come From Away, because oh my God, this show.
Isn't it incredible?
It was touring in Australia when I went to Broadway in January, and my mum was like, you have to see it. I was like, yep, sweet, no worries. So I went to the theatre, rushed, got up at like 6 a.m., rushed the tickets, front row on Broadway for Come From Away.
Oh my goodness.
And like, I'd listened to the soundtrack enough that I knew the music. So I was like, yep, cool.
Yeah.
That first song started and I was like, oh, I'm in
it
for
hits
it.
It hits you, doesn't it? Yeah. You feel like you're a part of it. Like, it's so surreal. You feel like you are, like, all the audience is just, like, a big part of something. Yeah. And the music was, like, just everything was so moving.
Yes.
I just remember watching it being like, that was the most incredible piece of theatre I've ever seen.
Right. And I, like, got to the screeching, got to the end of the screeching, and I was like, that's it. I'm going to wherever this is, and I'm doing that, because that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a...
Oh, my goodness.
I'm, like, crying thinking about how good Come From Away is. Oh, fantastic. This might be an Australian question, But when you go to like the movie theater to see a movie, are you popcorn or chocolate?
Popcorn.
Oh, that was decisive too. That was like decisive. No questions.
I do love chocolate, but I feel like popcorn like means you're at the cinema. Do you know what I mean?
Right. It feels different.
Like if I've got popcorn, I'm like, right, this is an event. I'm prepared.
All right. So for everyone listening, that is your cue to go grab your popcorn because we are getting stuck right into the thick of things now because we are here chatting about this. This is the biggest thing you will hear this week. Right? We're calling it right now.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, so wow.
This is going to be a fun one, guys. Get stuck in. Put your seatbelts on. This is going to be a wild one. So what was your introduction to musical theatre as a whole? How did you get into the performing?
Wow, I started quite young. I feel like a lot of people either start really young or they get into it like relatively in their late teens.
I was late, yeah. So I started when I was 18. So,
wow, I love that though. I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Because I think that's sort of when I realised I was serious about it. I did it before as like a hobby.
Yeah.
But knew at like 16, 17 that I was like, okay, I could seriously do this.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's such a difficult thing. But yeah, so I was sort of, my parents gave me the ultimatum. Would you rather go to Stagecoach, which is like a drama school on like a weekend?
Yeah.
Or would you rather do trampolining? Because we want to get rid of you for a few hours on the weekend. And you need to choose one. So originally I chose trampolining. I'm the clumsiest person you've probably ever met. And you haven't even properly met me yet. And I'm terrible. I trip over air. And trampolining was not
great
my thing.
Considering the dance background that you have.
Right? I know. I'm honestly not very good. So I tried trampolining and it just wasn't my thing. So did about one class and then I was like, I want to do the other thing. So they threw me into Stagecoach. No, they're massively supportive. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Because like that, I went every weekend for like 3-4 hours and it was just like singing, dancing and acting.
That's
and
so good.
I learned everything basically from about 4 years old.
Yeah.
But I was nearly five. But I used to love it. I used to like at 5 years old, I was like such a tiny little like dwarf thing. I was so little, honestly. Like it was abnormally small for a 5 year old, which is ridiculous. But they would like shove me at the front so I wasn't like hiding behind anyone. And I'd just be there with like the biggest show face you can ever imagine. Just this little child like beaming, so excited to get a bit of attention because she's a middle child. So I crave attention.
There
you know?
We go. Yeah.
It'll make sense now. But so I loved it. And then sort of took a break a bit while I was at college.
Yep.
So I went Stagecoach for 13 years.
Wow.
I know, long, long time. And like, I made friends with all the teachers, every student, and like went back and helped out and stuff like that. So that was lovely. But so stopped when I went to college to sort of be like, right, need a plan B. I was that person who was
okay.
Like, right, I need to actually get some
A-levels. Instead of following musical theatre to college, you were like, cool, all right, I need to like get a career.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what did you go and study at college?
Well, I actually chose psychology, history, both Englishes, and I did like a performance devising A-level instead of musical theatre because I wanted to see like a different side of performance and like whether I could be creative in like a different way, which actually really helped. But psychology was like the big thing for me where I was like, oh my God, I really love this. And it actually made it quite difficult for me when I was like applying to unis and stuff because I did apply to some for psychology and I also applied for some for musical theatre. So my personal statement that you have to write for UCAS was like half while I love psychology, half while I love musical theatre. It's trying to marry the two, which is an awkward task, but I managed it. So that's kind of how I got into it.
That is wonderful. And psychology is like, I love psychology. Like I couldn't go and study it, but like just through my own personal experience, it's just one of those fascinating things to learn to understand how different people react to the same situation. Mm-hmm. Not different situations, the same situation.
The same situation.
And that's where we can wrap six into psychology because everybody that goes into that theater experiences something different in 75 minutes.
And take something very different away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always an interesting one to see how people react to it.
Yeah. It's
And like also like splitting it and whether there's any correlation between like age gaps or like or gender or upbringing or where you're from.
Exactly.
Someone does take something different, but it's always interesting.
100%. We could make this a really long-winded episode and just go down the road. You guys would be like, what are we talking about? But it'd be information. But do you remember what the first show was that you saw?
Yes. So it was My Fair Lady. I know. Interesting one. And then after that, I was like, I'm going to be Eliza Doolittle. I'm actually going to be her. Like, I'm already her. And I used to go around the house like, all I want is... and my parents are like, okay, yeah, nice.
This little five-year-old with a stage face running through the kitchen.
Yeah, like... Oh my goodness. I actually still have the program from when I went to go and see it. I keep all my programs. It's like my one stagey thing. Yeah.
Same.
Love that. Love it. I love the look of playbills though. I think they're so much better than
so we have similar.
And they're free.
Right. We have similar stuff to you. So ours is the same setup as the UK. And then US are just like, here, just have it. Like,
there you go. Know who's in the show. Go and look them up.
Exactly.
Great. But no, so yeah, I've still got the program from it, which is amazing. But it was just that whole thing of like actually being in a space and seeing it done properly. Yeah. I'd been in like little shows at Stagecoach and like obviously like audiences of like 200, all the parents of the kids going to see you, and it's like, I've made it. And then you go and see it and you're like, whoa.
I've got a long way to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see my first show until I was 16, 17, I think. And that was Mary yours? Poppins. So that was a really, the thing that got me there was the choreography. I think I don't know if it was the same for the UK, but Step in Time when Bert does like this tap dance on the roof. Man. Like, I was like, this is cool. Like, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that was the moment for me. And then I kind of fell away from theater, and Hamilton was the one that dragged me back in. So.
Oh, wow. That was a spectacle. Oh,
right.
Hamilton. And I remember like crying during the opening number. I was with like one of my best friends, some of my best friends actually, and like our mums who all came to see it with us, which is lovely. And, we were just all sat there and we had listened to Hamilton like from quite near the beginning. Like we caught onto it quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I just remember us all holding onto each other's hands and just like crying.
Yeah. It was I heard the dum, 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 dum. And I was like, oh my God.
This is it.
And then the first time I saw it, I was in Chicago and the girl playing Eliza did something that I haven't seen anyone else do. And right at the end of Who Lives, Who Dies, she let out this howl of sadness, like she full on, and I was like already clapping, and she was like like, and I was like and I was like, I was stuck in my chair, I couldn't move.
Oh,
I was,
man,
just like, girl, you got me. And that is what theater is all about, is that is emotional
moving
things
people.
That it's just, I'm emotional tonight. We're gonna have a good episode.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So from your decision to go to college from something different, what brought you back into the theatre world?
So I sort of, it's not that like I ever took my eye off the ball or anything like that. I was always working, practicing and like trying to get better.
Yeah.
So I had a few singing lessons and stuff. I just didn't want to commit as many hours a week to it to try and have a backup.
Yeah.
And that was sort of like the logic in me that was like, you need to have a backup in case it fails. And part of me wishes I didn't do that and just like pushed even harder. But at the end of the day, I still got to where I am. So I obviously worked like relatively hard enough. And it was when I got into drama school. So I went to the London College of Music.
Yep.
And I got into a couple of drama schools, obviously all off auditions. But the first like three auditions for drama schools I went to, I got rejected from. And I remember being crushed and being like, you know what? Just going to do psychology. Doesn't matter. This is why I got a backup. And then my dad, who was like the person that was sort of like, yeah, like good idea getting a backup, then like sort of was like, hey, what are you doing? Like, this is your dream. Stop giving up. He was like, you're going to go. Because I was like, there's no point in me going to any other auditions. And he was like, are you joking? Like, of course you are. Stop being stupid.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
But then I did, and I sort of went in with a new attitude. And funnily enough, the four schools I went to audition for after that, I got into all of them.
See?
And I do think that was because of a change of attitude. So I can thank my dad for that.
See, look, we're hiding that psychology thing right into this. This is going to be a theme for us
tonight. Just moving it in.
But that's the thing about theatre is that it is such a yes or no industry. Like,
yeah,
and
rejection is hard.
And you've got to kind of, even though it's so regular, it never gets easier to be like, crap, like I'm not getting what I wanted. and you've got to find a way to pick yourself up, dust yourself off and get on the horse because we're going hard.
It's not about the rejection. It's about how you deal with it.
Yeah.
That's a massive thing. And it's very easy to give up. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there have been many a time where I'm like, I don't know if I'm right for this. I don't know if I'm cut out for it. And then something always happens that I'm like, no, I am. I need to do this.
Yeah.
And the more work I put in, the more results I was getting. So that there is sort of a correlation. Obviously, it does come down to sometimes luck, what you do in the room, or like whether the timing is right.
Yeah.
For sure, like 100%. And sometimes time won't be on your side, but it's how you deal with it. You get, like, exactly like you said, you've got to pick stuff up, dust stuff off, and improve. Keep bettering yourself. There's no such thing as perfect, and I'm not saying you should ever strive and keep pushing like in an unhealthy way, but if you want to be better, you can always get better.
Yeah.
You can always improve yourself, and like, it's enjoyable to see what you can do. I remember the first time I was at uni, and it was like my second year, and I was quite classically trained in singing before I went to university. And in my whole first year, I just did soprano stuff, like Pirates of Penzance and like a lot of like Phantom stuff and stuff like that. And I remember being like, okay, but is this my cast type? I don't really sort of look the type to fit that, so I need to sort of like rearrange a bit. And I remember my singing teacher in my second year gave me like a super belty song, and it was Screw Loose from Cry Baby. Hilarious song, absolutely amazing, proper character song, which I love. And I remember he was like, just sing it through. I'd listened to it and I was a bit worried about the high note, but I just let it out, and he was like, oh, didn't he? I was like, what?
And it's those moments where you're like, damn, like,
yeah, like I did that. I'm proud.
It's when you like switch off your brain as well. You're just like kind of, it's just like,
I was honestly totally in playing this absolute lunatic character that I was like, you know what? If anything horrible comes out of my mouth, I don't care, because it's a character choice.
Exactly.
So, but that was like such a moment where I was like, I sort of finished and then I sort of like snapped out of it, and he just looked at me like, I was like,
who are you?
Yeah, like that just happened.
those
moments
so
that
bad.
Make you want to be like, right, I can do it.
Yeah.
Push through, get better.
You push for the
going.
Next one. You want that next,
exactly.
Like, what else can I do? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. So getting your training, shifting back into theatre, we get to kind of the show that we're here for, because we're not just here to hang out and talk about Come From Away and other shows. We are here to talk about Six, this mega musical that we are all fondly a part of in some way. What was your introduction to Six? How did you find out about the show?
So, one of my flatmates, actually, she was obsessed. Like, she fully farted. I just said fully fart. Oh my goodness, fully part of the queendom. Not fully fart. That's not a good thing. I could hear. She was next door to me, and she would play XY. She would play Six, Don't Lose Your Head. All of those cracking tunes. And I was like, what is she listening to? And she went, I went to go and see Six. I went, oh, like, how was it? Because I'd heard of it, and like a few people had sort of said, you need to sing this song, you need to sing that song. So I had like a potentials like playlist that I just like added them to, and then I'd get to listening to them when I had the time. And I was like, oh, how was it? And she went, incredible. Like, you have to listen to the music. So I was like, okay, like, I will then. So I listened to it from start to finish, and I was like, Whoa.
Yeah.
that was sick.
It's an experience.
And, like, that was
the first time you listen to it. It's like, this isn't a musical.
From the moment you hear the, like, divorce, then it's like, oh, like, where
like,
are we
I'm
going?
Here.
I'm okay, yeah, I'm him, I'm ready. And I was just on my own listening to the whole show the whole way through. It was quite, like, late at night, actually, and I remember finishing it being like, wow, like, I think I need to sleep on that.
Yeah.
Because it was such, like, a thing. And then I remember I have such a big thing for, like, researching everything once I, like, really catch onto an idea. So I was like, six a musical, everything, just looked into it, tried to get tickets, couldn't. And then one day my lovely friend tags me in a post on Twitter from Pearson Casting announcing the opens. Now, like, the reason I, like, was interested in the opens was because I do have an agent, and I signed with lovely Lexi from FLP. I signed with her about 2 or 3 days after the private course had finished, as in, like, they'd finished taking applications on Spotlight. So I knew that, and I didn't want to rush my decision in choosing an agent because it's such an important one. But I knew I was going to miss it, but I was like, it's fine, it will come around again. And then lo and behold, I get tagged in this from a good friend saying, please go for this, you would be great. And I was like, God, I never actually considered that. Like, I love the musical, but I never actually considered being in it. Yeah. I was like, you know what? What is there to lose? Go to an open audition. I'd heard so much about Pearson Casting, and, like, everything was proved to be true. They are beautiful, beautiful people, and yeah, they're amazing. But I was like, it would be a great opportunity to meet them, show my face. Like, who knows, if they see me now, then they might be more inclined to see me at a private. And never imagined what actually did happen. So yeah, it's kind of blew me away.
And speaking of casting, we've been dropping figures for the last couple of weeks. There is about 80 odd of you that have been cast in this show, that have been on stage and performed this show. Like, 80. This show is, like,
that's crazy.
International. Like, it's so weird how small yet how big this show is. So what's it like being one of less than 100 people to be able to portray these people on stage to an audience?
Well, now you've said that, that's kind of blown my mind a bit. Right? I did not know that. That is crazy. But it doesn't just feel like that because we have the Queendom. So it feels like a huge, this sounds quite cheesy, but it does feel like, I feel very, very supported by the producers, by the team, by the writers, by the creatives, by all of the queens and all of the Queendom. It never feels like I'm part of, like, an elite group.
Yeah.
We are all queens. We all fix each other's crowns, and we all help each other out in times of need. I know. Mic drop.
We touched on that in an episode with Brioni, like, a couple of weeks ago. And that queens fix each other crown, that is my go-to thing. Whenever I'm, like, down, I'm like, I'll put it out there because someone's going to be like, you're awesome. I'm
someone
like,
yes, will
I
help. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you do just need, like, a bit of reiteration from someone to be like, yeah, you rule. And it's like, yeah, I do. Thank you.
I just needed to read it. I just needed it in black and white. We're good.
I just needed to hear it from someone who wasn't my mum. You know what I mean? Like, love my mum, but she's biased.
Yeah.
I love that. Queens fix each other's crowns. And I've sort of, like, I said that long before I was cast or anything like that. I think it's a great thing. And, like, women supporting women is, like, a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, like, you putting it into numbers like that is a bit mind-blowing. And it does make me feel like, oh.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Speaking of women supporting women, being the 90% odd creative team that it is female, and obviously casting all female, what is it like being a part of a show that is all female power?
Incredible. I cannot stress enough how amazing it is. It is. I grew up with two brothers, like, male dominated household, which wasn't ever a problem. It was it was just like I had gained so many sisters. And that is something that, like, I kind of always wanted. I just wanted, like, another little girl like me, just to, like, reassure myself that, like, everything's fine. Like, we're dealing with it. But, yeah, I did. I gained true friends and true sisters. So it was epic. I actually, one of my final show at LCM, I did Bernarda Alba by La Chiesa, based on Lorca's book. And that was an all-female cast. There were 10 females in it, and it was a female director. And again, that's where I realized, like, the power of females and, like, mm-hmm. female performers and just, like, females full stop. But it was those women were so powerful, and, like, we told such an incredible story, and it's, like, relatively dark, but we pulled it off. And I remember finishing and people were like, wow. And I was mm-hmm. like yes, this is the power that we have, like, let us unleash it. And then, yeah, just being cast in Six, there's always, like, a stigma, I think, of, like, nastiness and cattiness and, like, with females, and I just think it's rubbish.
I think it's honestly rubbish. Coming into the Queendom, like, I joined probably June last year, right?
Right.
I haven't seen that, like, anywhere. Never. Like, not from anybody anywhere. Like, it's just literally leave everything at the door, or you're, like, here to support. Like, if you don't like that, this ain't the place for you. Get out.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Like, we don't have room for any Henrys. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm going to call them now. You're a Henry.
You're a Henry. That is great. We're going to coin that here on the Queendom podcast. You are a Henry. Please leave.
leave your Henrys at the door.
Exactly. Like, and I think that whole thing, and it's funny to see, it's a female-dominated show, and everybody knows that. And the, like me, the guys, speaking from a male perspective, like, all the guys that come into this show as fans are like, this is sick, and, like, we're here to support the fact. And at the start of running my account, like, I did feel a little weird, and, like, my friend was like, are you sure you should be doing this? I was like, right, like, a male, like, and I was like, no. Like, we've got to support, because, absolutely. Like, this That's whole thing is about supporting and lifting the females exactly. in this position, because theatre needs the change. Like, Lucy was set to become the youngest female director in Broadway history.
Incredible.
So, like, that.
Incredible. Boom,
her name's going to be in that history book forever for that, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And then there's so many amazing people like yourselves cast in the show, but the creatives, Lucy, Carrie Ann, Freya, all the way through, like, there is some amazing people involved in the show, which this is going to be like a launching platform for a lot of you guys cast, plus a lot of the creatives involved in the show as well. Like, Carrie Ann's already the associate choreographer for Hamilton, so, like, one of the biggest shows in the West End. Like, this is just that launching platform for the next wave of musical theater, because it's just going to shift this way, and everyone's going to be like, well, we've been sleeping on this for how long? How stupid were we?
Yeah, literally, it's so true. And it is, it's that feeling as well. I always got it in the show, on the sort of, I got it in the moment where we would sort of turn to the audience before the I Don't Need Your Love remix, where we'd be like, we gotcha. And then seeing people's faces like, that would be incredible. And then right at the end of Six, and at the very end of the Mega Six, more so at the end of Six, because it's like, this is the end of the show, and we've just done that. And it's seeing people's reaction, and it's people that, like, stereotypically you wouldn't expect to enjoy it, but it doesn't matter. That's the whole point of the show, that you shouldn't stereotype and you shouldn't compare. And actually, anyone and everyone can enjoy this show, because why not? It's full of energy, it's full of colour, it's full of light, it's full of story, it's full of characters, it's full of absolute bops. Like, the music is just incredible.
It's an album on its own. Like, you don't need the context of the show to listen to it.
And that's what I loved as well when I first listened to it. I remember being like, God, like, I can imagine this being a great musical, but what a concert. Like, I'd happily go to this and just, like,
listen to it, and you're like, cool, I understand it. And then the dialogue in between, you're just like, oh, this makes, like, Holbein makes no sense. Holbein's the only song that you listen to and you're like, why the hell is this here? And then you like see the before and after and you're like, and when it's staged with like the glow, you're just like, incredible. Oh, I get it now. This makes sense.
This makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I had a really good question. I've got to remember it. I'm going to have to circle back. Yeah, we're going to have to circle back to that one. Being on stage in the show, amazing show as it is, what's it like? What's your favorite moment in the show? That if you could replay one moment every day, what would it be?
That's tough. One specific moment. When we start Ex-Wives, I think.
The like, individuals, the, like...
Yeah, and then going into the live. That was always, like, a moment where I was filled with, like, nervous butterflies, but also just filled with excitement of, like, what are we going to get today, ladies? Like, let's have fun. Because, yeah, like, you always get, like, different audiences. But... It was always like a moment before like the Kabuki opened that we were like what's gonna happen. We were just like messing about, having a laugh, and then we also like just stood there in our positions and we just breathed in together and we were like, let's go, let's do it. Yeah. And that was always like lovely for me. It always got me ready, always got me prepared, because I knew whatever happened, no matter like what reaction we got, whether anything went wrong, I had my girls on stage. Yeah. And that's all that mattered, because I knew that they would save me, or I could save them, or like I felt safe and protected. So I love that feeling. So
that's a word that keeps coming up, and safe. I feel like everything about this show, from what I've heard about the creative process in the show of you guys getting to the stage, finding your characters, everybody in the Queendom, it's a safe place.
100%.
Whether you're trying to develop your own character, go into those kind of emotional spots to kind of, especially with Howard, for example, like she's got some deep stuff that you've got to kind of try and connect to.
Yeah.
What was your experience like delving in to Howard's history and trying to find yourself in her?
So I think I kind of went from it maybe a little bit differently, purely because I had never seen the show.
Yeah.
And still haven't, which is mad. I was actually meant to have like a scheduled show off the week after we stopped.
Yeah.
To watch like my amazing sisters and like take it all in. But obviously that never got to happen. Everything happens for a reason. But no, so I'd never seen the show. So I remember in my audition when I first sang, I sang for Berlin, Howard and Parr. And started with Berlin. They were like, can we see Howard? I was like, yeah, of course. And they were like, have you seen the show? I was like, no. And they were like, don't worry, it's sold out. I was like, so smooth. So smooth. That was incredible. Boom, boom.
Hair flick.
Yeah, literally, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave, because that's all you needed to say. but
we have confidence in this show. Like, you don't need to worry about it.
That was amazing. Thank you so much. Also, get me tickets. Thank you. And they were like, right, just a bit of context and sort of explain the context of all you want to do. Because I was going from sort of breakdown of, I thought this time was different. And I'd obviously learnt it, but had learnt it in my own way, didn't really know what they expected. So they were like, right, we're just going to give you some pointers and like notes on what to do before you do it. So I was like, perfect. And just did it.
Yeah.
And they sort of like were a bit silent afterwards. And then like they were looking at each other and they were like, we're going to get you to do it again, please. And I was like, okay.
And the performer knew is like, yes, 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 yes. Yeah, don't fuck it up.
Okay, thank you. And then did it again. And like there was a moment where I love them, Grace and Franny, the like directors, sort of like looked at each other, and they both had like got goosebumps. And I was like, oh! I was like, yes! So happy.
Internally just exploding, being like, play it cool, play it cool, play like, it cool.
Okay, I think I did something right. I'm just gonna like smile because I've broken out of it now. And then after that, they kind of really only wanted to see Howard, so, and a bit of Parr actually, which was cool. But so then I sort of went into the rehearsal process sort of doing my research a bit more and like really looking into the show version of Catherine Howard, as well as Catherine Howard,
yeah,
the Tudor Queen, and learned so much. Like, there are so many cool facts about her. She did have a bit of a tragic time, which I think was obviously massively upsetting, but I think it's more like her portrayal in modern day that is more upsetting, because it's so difficult. If there was a Kay Howard today, I would hope that it would be recognized sooner. And you would hope, but obviously you have no idea. Like, things are very different in different cultures and different communities. So, like, that sort of thing does still happen, yeah, and it is massively sad. Mm-hmm. And I sort of had to remember that, and remember that actually, yeah, I am depicting like a moment in history told in a very certain way, but I'm also like representing a lot of women who have been treated this way and still continue to be treated, yeah, this way. That was important for me.
Yeah.
And like, sort of not seeing the show, I couldn't base my Kay Howard off of anyone because I had no idea. And I just did it the way that I thought it should be done. And obviously there were directions and like stuff like, yeah, that, and staging that changed things. But ultimately, like, I feel like my Kay Howard has stayed like very much my own, which, yeah, I love. And I don't think it's even worth like comparing anyone else, because I love that each queen is so individual to the performer.
Yeah.
That is incredible. And that is something I massively respect.
Yeah.
We're not carbon copies of each other.
And we don't look
alike,
no,
we don't
what,
sound like, alike. No,
there's
exactly
no point forcing that, because,
right, exactly. Yeah. Which is why I also love like the difference in accents and stuff like that. Like, it's amazing. And but yeah, so I remember we workshopped All You Wanna Do, and every moment they could, the creatives were like, "You okay with this?" I was like, "Yeah." It was always safe. I always felt really protected, really safe, and really like cared for. Like, my feelings were really cared for, which was so important. And yeah, because it's like, especially like the way we workshopped it, it was very physical and very like emotional. Do you know what I mean? I feel like if I was like, so the swings were sort of watching parts of it, and I remember them like hugging me afterwards, being like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And they were like, "Okay." And so obviously it had done something.
Yeah.
And there was quite a lot of instances where actually I got silence after All You Want to Do. In the show,
I still
which
remember
was,
the first time All You Want to Do on the soundtrack was my skip song. So I just couldn't connect to it, and I didn't understand, yeah, it. And then it was about my fourth time seeing the show, and there was something that night that happened, and I was like, "I get it now." And I sobbed, and I was like,
"Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I got it."
Yeah, it's so tough. It's so tough. And like, I do like feel guilty sometimes. Obviously, I finish the song sort of like looking up, but then I have this moment before I say my next line. Obviously, the next line is like,
it's the joke.
Snaps you straight out of it, which was also hard because I think people didn't really. They were like, "Is she okay?"
I'm glad I saw it as many times as I did, because the first time that happened, I was like, "That feels like it shifts really quickly." And then when you kind of get used to you almost get to that point of emotional kind of like down where you're like, "Okay, I need to like, let's get out of here."
Yeah, exactly. But that it's like, it's mental because you watch the show, like, obviously you've seen it. How many times have you seen the show? Four times?
I'm up to 14.
Yeah. I love that.
So like everything you can explain right now, I'll probably have a pretty decent understanding of.
You know better than me. You've seen the show way more times than I have. but yeah, so obviously you'll like notice the lighting changes and the difference in like how the lights on the back, the LEDs, they like have little splits.
That was
every after
my
every
favorite
like chorus.
Thing. So like, as I see a show, I'll progress from watching the main cast the first time to watching whoever's not the center of attention, so watching everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then with the sixth set, you kind of go up the stairs, so you kind of,
yeah.
And then the first night I noticed
ladies in waiting,
and yeah, then, and then when the first night I noticed the lights, I was like, Tim Dealing, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, there are incredible.
So many.
And it's just like little intricacies that you just like the, my favorite one will always be the lights traveling up during No Way. So when you guys do the dum-dum, I'm like, the first time I noticed that, I was like, that is great. Oh, my God.
One of my favorites is when it goes into a crown as we're doing the slow start to six. Look out for this next time.
Well, when six comes back up and running, guess what I'm looking for.
But yeah, on the one of a kind, no category, when it's really slow.
That's like a full emotional part of that show. You just like, this is so happy. And you're like, I know what's leading into it. I'm like, so ready to like dance, but damn, this is so nice. And it ends on a really gorgeous harmony and like.
Yeah. But yeah, the lights like travel up and then make a little crown.
There we go.
It's a huge one. It's amazing. So, but no, yeah. So just like quickly finishing off the All You Want to Do thing. It was amazing to do because I think it did change people's perceptions.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately what I think we want to do with all of the queens.
Yeah.
And yeah, I felt like purely because of the song and the staging, the choreo and everything, the mood has like nothing to necessarily do with like how I perform it because every queen can do it. But it's how it's been set up that makes it very comfortable for me to do and very safe for me to do. And I feel like I've done my job afterwards, which they've made so easy. So it's good. It's difficult, but it's good. And like sort of like the looking down and really looking at people. Obviously it's all about eye contact as well, so and like actually looking into people's eyes and have them look at me, and like some people they like disconnect a bit and they're a bit like, I don't know how to feel, I can't look at her, and like some people will not look at me and other people will look at me as if like, I want to help you, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. Then I was beheaded. Funny story.
Then I was beheaded.
But yeah, so it's never like nice to make people feel that way, but it sometimes does have to be done to like really open your eyes to a situation.
And I think that's what theatre is about. Theatre is, going back to the safe idea, theatre is this safe kind of place to explore themes that are going on in our society that need to be addressed in certain ways for people to connect to them. Look at shows outside Six. So Six touches on some pretty big issues, but you look at things like Jagged Little Pill that's currently on Broadway, Dear Evan Hansen, Dear Evan Hansen with the whole mental health thing. Jagged Little Pill touches on drugs and sexual abuse, that type of thing. Like, there's so many shows that are at the forefront of addressing these shows, and the way they're being addressed is becoming ever more less cotton wool. Like, we're not trying to wrap them up and hide them behind the story. It's like, cool, you need to see this because we need to change the perception of
this. You might relate. It might help you in some way, or it might make you realize how to help other people. So, and it's about, like, theatre is bringing people together. That is ultimately what we do.
And that's why we've got such a big following in this show, because everyone's here to support each other. Speaking of the following, what was that like, seeing the Queendom come to arms when you were the new Kay Howard?
It was mad. I was a bit overwhelmed. I remember being like, this is so funny. Like, this... it's like it didn't feel real, do you know what I mean? And like it's because I suddenly have all these new friends, do you know what I mean? Because they are like, everyone is a fantastic friend to me. They look after me, they care about me, and I them. And it's about putting a positive impact out to my friends.
Yeah.
And so it did sort of like, it opened my eyes a bit to being like, you know what, like, there are people who now are like influenced by me in some ways, or like look out or listen to what I say. So I need to make sure that I really believe in what I say, and that I it's putting a good thing out into the world.
And it kind of,
you know, and it's never like I was putting anything bad out before, but it really made me realize to be like, you know what? No, I can have a really good impact.
Yeah.
Here. And I need to use this for good.
Exactly. And you're in a position where it's like, I have this platform, and on this platform, I don't need to pretend to be anybody else because these people love me for who I am. Like, I could put up a photo. Obviously, I don't wear makeup, but like, you could put up a photo like makeup free one day, and everybody like,
yeah. And I did, you know what? Like, on the ship, I became so comfortable in my own skin, and I still am. And I rarely wore makeup, rarely did my hair, anything like that. And I remember posting the first picture without any makeup, and I was so nervous. And then I was like, you know what? No, I don't have to be. Like, I love that picture of me, and I feel great, and I feel fierce, and I feel like wild, and just like, I feel great. And I was like, and I felt great when I took that picture, so I'm going to post it.
Yeah.
And the amount of like support I had from people was incredible. And it just made me think, you know what? Yeah, like, this is a good group of people, and I'm very happy that I'm a part of it.
What's it like having these people look up to you? Like, we were born, you were 96, born in 96, yeah? Sweet. Yeah. So we're born in the same year. What's it like? We're kind of still looking up to people in our own careers. Like, what's it like now knowing that there's people that are now looking up to you moving forward?
It's surreal in a way that I remember being that person who was like, Sutton Foster was always like a true love of mine. And I was like, Sutton, I love you. And now there are people like doing that in a sense with me. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I always looked up to Sutton because she always set a great example, because she worked hard, because she was an incredible performer, and like, there was so much to her work that like you could really get your teeth into. Do you know what I mean? And I just remember following her and being like, yeah, like she's just an amazing like human.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, I do want to put good out into this world, and I think it's important, especially with everything going on at the moment.
Exactly.
Like, there are a lot of things going on in the world, and there are so many opinions being thrown about, and like, some I agree with, some I don't necessarily agree with, but it doesn't make them wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Does,
like,
everybody's your entitled opinion to
is your opinion. Everyone is entitled to that, and we can argue till the cows come home. Do you know what I mean? So you're blue in the face, but you need to make sure that your input into the world is just as important.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm focusing on at the moment.
That's,
you know what
one.
I mean? Like, I could, there's so many people, and like, there's nothing wrong with it, because I also agree in speaking up for what you believe in. And if you do disagree with someone and you believe strongly about it, and you back up your ideas, go for it. If you really like disagree with someone, like, that works both ways. And
that's
like,
where you learn. Like, if someone's going to challenge you on something, that's where you learn, because you're going to find something in that argument where you're like, oh, maybe I was wrong, or I now understand your point of view. I still don't agree with it.
Exactly. It's about, it's about being open-minded enough. There are so many different opinions in the world to sort of realize and be like, you know what? Like, I'm not the only human here.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not the only human who matters.
Yeah.
So I need to realize that and be okay with that, and except that there are going to be many an opinion, and you might not agree with them all, but who cares? They still have that opinion. If you think it's important, for example, like, obviously, like, there are things that are said to be right and wrong, and like, we're getting very like philosophical here, but like, yeah, but again,
I love these conversations, so we can definitely
give
me a philosophical question any day and I'll be like, let's debate this for 3 hours, we're good.
but you're right,
there's things that are
stand up for what you believe in,
right and wrong as well. Like, there are things that everybody understands is right and wrong, but there's also that gray area around right and wrong, which is where these opinions form. Like, and that crossover between right and wrong is where these arguments stem from, because there's people.
Yeah. I think it's also just so important to remember, not everyone has had the same upbringing as you. Not everyone has been through the same stuff as you.
Yep.
And that will identify them as a person. or at least like it will influence the person that they are in some way. And that's important to remember. You may have been very fortunate, you may have not been fortunate.
Yeah.
But everyone is in a different situation, and your unfortunate like parts of your life may be very different to someone else's unfortunate parts.
Exactly.
So I think it's very big and it's very like wide, but I think it's important just to try your best to put as much good into the world as possible. And that's all we can do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that. And we are gonna jump back in time to wrap things up here. So mm-hmm. what was it like hearing the I Don't Need Your Love remix for the first time, like sung in that rehearsal room? Because that for me is the most powerful, like that switch from par being like, yeah, this is chill, and then everyone's like, remix, and I'm like, we're gearing up, let's go. So what was that like, hearing that for the first time?
It was incredible. Amelia did such an incredible job of I Don't Need Your Love. I remember watching her every night and being like, this is a treat. Just I had to like stop myself from being like,
it's another cool thing about this show is because you guys get to sit there and watch everybody else do their thing, except for kind of like Sorry Not Sorry and
but still, no, like interacting kind of with Kelly during that, it's like you still obviously you don't necessarily like watch it from an audience's point of view, but it's like Beyonce's backing singers, like you're still watching Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you're just a part of it. You are also being watched. It's amazing. Yeah. And I lived in Don't Lose Your Head. I loved that number. But no, it was always a part of like me that was like listening to her and being like really in tune with what she was saying and like finding something different in everything in what she was saying every night. And then like doing the whole we gotcha and then being like this is the point.
And you feel the kind like of even energy
like
shift.
We're taking back the microphone, and it's like the dance changes and just everything, and you've got obviously like the record scraps and stuff like that, and it's amazing. It's such a powerful moment. But it's the very end of the remix where we're all stood in like a semicircle around par, and we are all just looking at each other, and it's like that whole like it's like
and
a ball of female power and
energy, and it's just like
and she's ripping her head off, and then she finishes it, and we all send it out to the audience, and it is that whole like vroom, do you know what I mean? It just like takes over you, and you're like, wow.
And you kind of just like happened. And the best reaction I've ever seen to that was opening night in Australia. The crowd literally just leapt to their feet. Everybody was like, what else is there to do? Like,
there was nothing else to do but give these women a standing ovation. Wow. Well done. Yeah.
One more question. Actually, we got two more, but this is one of my favorite ones. What was it like seeing Howard for the first time, seeing the pink and trying it on for the first time?
It was amazing. I had a bit of like an emotional time with it. Obviously, it was like such a big thing. And like just also there is a lot on show with Howard, and I had to come to terms with that relatively quickly. But everyone, Gabby and everyone, made me feel so comfortable in that costume.
That was a question I wanted to ask, but I didn't know how to ask that. Like how was it going from that kind of to that pretty much it's pretty much nearly a what's the word? I can't think of the word. No, it's gone. But yeah, like there is a lot of skin on show for Howard. Like,
of course,
that would play into needing to be comfortable in your own skin.
Oh my God, yeah.
On stage, absolutely. Like just rocking yourself.
And you know what? Like the way that they've written Howard, she's so powerful that I'm like, I don't care. I'm a confident woman. I'm confident in my body.
Yeah.
I'm confident in how I look. And you just have to like, you have to look at yourself and be like, I am beautiful, which is one of the hardest things to do. And it is really difficult, but you have to sort of see past that and be like, I'm doing such an incredible thing right now. And I'm performing in a dream show, in a dream role, that's all that matters. And that confidence sort of like did take me through that. Every time I put my costume on, I was like, yeah, I feel great.
I'm a queen. This is it.
I'm a queen. I'm literally, this is my crown. This, I'm ready. I've got my pink pony in.
Yeah.
And it was epic. And like I did, it made me feel like Howard because yeah. I didn't feel like I looked like Georgia.
Yeah.
I look like Georgia's version of Howard in a way, but because we all do look very different. But I felt powerful, and the pink pony was incredible. It was so fun.
I love that. What has your favorite experience been with the fans of this show? What is that thing, whether it is the first piece of fan art or whatever, what was that thing where you're like, well, these people actually like really care and like are here to support me no matter what?
there's been so many moments. Like you mentioning the fan art is incredible. I can't get over it. Like the talent that the Queendom have, not even just in fan art ways, like, I've seen costumes made, I've seen people make costumes for their dogs and their cats.
Yeah.
And I've seen people like write letters, write songs, perform like songs from Six, perform other songs, like just send me like positive messages that make me smile every time I read them. And like that in a sense is like overwhelming because it's like these people have so much love that is just awe-inspiring. It's amazing. I'd probably say just like there was a day I got like quite a lot of followers in one day, and it was just after like we'd been announced, and I remember being like, ooh, and then all these good luck messages came in for like the start of the show and stuff like that, and I was like, these people are amazing. And like obviously like with the ship's Wi-Fi and stuff, it was quite difficult to be able to just like browse.
Everything as like hits.
Exactly. So it did just come as one. And I remember the first time I logged on after like we opened and like Six had wished us luck on their Insta and stuff, that we were like,
we made
it. Was like not only the fans, but like my dear friends and stuff like that. And like I had so much support from family and friends that I cannot thank them enough.
Yeah.
So it was that, I think.
What is your favorite thing about Six as a whole?
The girl power.
Yeah.
100%.
We've touched on that enough this episode to make that pretty
clear.
Yeah,
it's just like the camaraderie and just the sisterhood. I know we call it a queendom, but to me it's like a sisterhood I've gained.
Yeah.
And like that doesn't, it's not gender specific.
No.
Like you can still be my sis, do you know what I mean?
100%. So. I totally understand that. And being away from the show for a couple of weeks now, what's the one thing you miss about the show?
Like singing with my girls, I'd say.
Yeah, performing.
Yeah, I just like we all like lived next door to each other.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? It's that whole thing like when you're a kid and you're like, why can't I just live on the same street as my best friends? I did.
Yeah.
I literally lived on the same corridor as my best friends, and it was amazing. And I'm very very grateful to have the girls that I had, like to share my journey with. But and it was so sad that it did get cut a bit short. But like I said earlier, everything happens for a reason. I'm a big believer in that. But I will obviously always miss my girls because we spent so much time together. And it's strange being so far away from them and not even be able to see them at the moment.
Exactly.
That's always going to be tough. But
such a weird position we're in.
But
Georgia, that brings us to the end of our podcast episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We touched on some pretty deep stuff this week, guys. So
we did.
This might take a couple of listens to get some of the stuff down, but please do it because 100% worth it. We have so much going on, so check our social medias. You'll find Georgia's social medias in the description box below. Wow, I'm really struggling with words right now, but that's okay. You can follow us at The Queendom Cast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, check out Oz Queendom for the more up-to-date across the world kind of things. We have another guest coming to join us next week, so make sure you're sticking around for Saturday next week as the Queendom Podcast gets another queen to join us in court. Queens, thank you for joining us, and we will catch you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.